This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get reward points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Jetson's there, Billy did! A goal Chris Billy Huddersfield Town! The most famous goal of Chris Billy's life.
Is this the moment for Lee Fowler? It is. Take your place in Division 2, Huddersfield.
Oi! Thank you.
Rupi and Steve Simonson's boots now. He's missed! Steve Simonson clears the frame of the goal and collapses in a heap of tears. Huddersfield Town are promoted.
Christopher Schindler has a chance to write his name in Huddersfield Town legend. And he takes that chance!
Hello and welcome to episode 209 of the Annie Takes His Chance podcast. No Matt sadly this week, but just like Tom Lees, I answered the call of duty. Whether I'm fit or not is another matter and that as well. But I'm your host, Cozzy. Also joining us is Devon's finest. He's enjoying an amazing season with his Torquay team in administration and his terriers one foot in the grave. He is Johnny Gillespie. Hi, Johnny.
Evening.
We have four people here tonight. Yes, four people here tonight. And my Jack Radoni. We didn't think we'd see him back so quick. Josh Quirk returns to the building. Hi, Josh.
How you doing, mate? You all right?
Yeah, banging, mate. It's been a great few days, hasn't it?
Yeah, awesome.
And a pub debut. Hopefully not a Loic Iena at Preston or a Kwame Adutu for those old-timers. I can't remember which game that we're actually in that as well. It's my fellow bald town brother, Mr. John McNamara. John, hi there.
Good evening, man. Good evening. Looking forward to this.
No worries. Apparently, John's been on before. It's not a debut. So, yeah, God, it's all started well, this podcast as well. But we are still sponsored, unless they're going to withdraw the sponsorship after this debacle of an opening by Magic Rock Brewing. You can find their fine establishments in Huddersfield Town Centre and Home Firth. And if you go on their website, which I did tonight, you can find some beautiful merchandise at magicrockbrewing.com. So there we go. Guys, I don't know where we start really in that as well. I was tempted to start with yesterday, but I am not. I'm going to start with Preston North End versus Huddersfield Town. So it feels like a long time ago, doesn't it, when we've got a midweek game and that as well. So obviously Preston North End 4, Huddersfield Town 1, which is a result I don't think anyone saw coming, certainly after 80 minutes. Tacticians in the house. I got a 4-4-1-1. Ben Jackson stayed in the team, which was quite surprising, really, after his performance against Millwall and hauled off at half time. But he did stay in the team. There's only one change. Ben Wiles coming for Bojan Radulovic. And yeah, go come to you first, Josh. I thought the first half was kind of decent. I thought the back four was strong. We kind of, you know, withstood any, you know, physical challenge that they get, that they threw at us, and they threw quite a little bit. I thought a counter-attack were good. I thought Thomas Wiles and Bergsog were, you know, good bringing forward. And obviously, we got the goal he looked a strange one from our end, didn't he? I didn't realise Cromer had three touches from where we were and that as well. But yeah, mate, Preston was subdued. The fans were quiet and we got that all important goal before the break. How did you see that first?
Yeah, one of them. I think Preston looked a bit nervous because it was obviously quite a big game for them as well, wasn't it? But I think we came out and I think we played quite well. We were knocking ball about. Obviously, we were sort of sitting back a little bit and trying to hit on break. But I think it sort of suited us. I know, like, there were a lot of, we're not really playing with a striker up top. But if we're going on, if we're trying to play on break, you need pace up top. And the strikers we've got haven't really got that. And I thought for the first 55 minutes of the game, we were decent. We were a better team. We deserved to be leading. Unfortunately, it's just that same old again. That 10 minutes after half time, isn't it? That's absolutely done us.
And oh, mate, it just like.
From there.
Just the Stoke game, it was like all over again, wasn't it? We got that lead right on half-time. And, Johnny, what do you think to the goal? Caroma took it really well. I thought he'd been quite dangerous in the last two games. Obviously, got a goal yesterday, which we'll come on to later on. But, yeah, I don't know how you felt kind of going into the break, but all I was saying to my friends was the first 50 minutes is key. Game management, just don't give him anything and that as well. But, you, again, like some of the games I've seen this season, I always think in the back of my mind, I don't think Preston can be as bad as that again. And what were you kind of seeing it at half time? Were you confident or were you just again thinking like me, God, they're going up the gear?
Never confident with Town, but that's just not necessarily down to performance. That's just years of them watching them. We actually struggled to get him. He was paying the game. They had one person taking money, so the queue was about around the block. I actually managed to buy Anita Burger before I even got into the ground.
What time did you get in, Johnny?
Must have been a good 7 minutes past. I said to my mate who's a Torquay fan, I was taking 0-0 before we even get into the ground at this rate. We had a few kind of like hairy moments, it sounded like, because I missed the first 7 minutes. But I think, like Josh said, really, you could probably look at that and say we didn't play well, but I disagree and say that we didn't play good football, but we did what we needed to do, that we kept it tight. There were only one or two kind of times he slightly got in relatively early on from when I got into the ground, to about 10th minute. I think Ben Jackson got alongside and they cut in and he got quite in a dangerous area. They tried to pull it back and it didn't quite come off. But other than that, looking at the stats, I didn't have a shot on target. So that's good. And we did look to counter. I still think we could make more of an impact if we could pass the ball. I know Matt's covered that to death, but there are a few times where doing passes were slightly behind or a little bit slower than they need to be, which affects our ability to break. But we did well. The goal itself was a little bit of pinball. But like I say, when it got across to Karoma, he did well to kind of trap it, turn inside it and finish it. And I think Preston fans might not necessarily agree, might be slightly biased, but I thought, away performance, which would shot well. We kept it tight, looked to counter, had a couple of all right chances, and one came off, and we were probably good value for a lead. And I was quite positive, really, looking into the second half, that they hadn't threatened. Preston are, they are up there, but probably their best player wasn't playing. They've not got the players to kind of rip you apart. I know it's a bit of a bogey ground. We have broken that curse, but it's not somewhere with happy hunting ground. But I thought, we keep it tight, keep playing what we're doing. Worst case scenario, we might concede one and should hopefully be at least good for a point, which I'd have taken before kickoff. So didn't really expect to what happened really in the final 45 minutes.
No, just come on, you, John. Delano Bergsov, we'll kind of mention the carry-on after the game later on, but he was quite fascinating to hear Brian Ratton's press conference, and he all came out, didn't he, that he weren't happy with the Coventry carry-on, where he took about half an hour to get off the pitch. It cost him his place in the team against Mill, obviously, playing against Preston North End. But the one thing that I noticed in this game, mate, it seemed to be a lot more unselfish. It's almost like, I don't know whether that's just how it looked or, because of what Brighton Wright had said, but with the goal, he showed some really great strength, kind of to get the ball in and, to hold off his man. Obviously, went to Wiles first, got blocked, and then went back to Bergsorg, and it was a good goal on that as well. But yeah, I think, again, I liked what Brighton Wright kind of gave us in the press conference, because, again, we've come from a diet of Dallin Moore talking bollocks and saying nothing. But he was quite an eye-opener, mate, and I think he got a nice tune out of him. And again, when we come on to yesterday's game, I think he did that as well. But I don't know if you noticed a different Bergsorg, certainly that first half.
Yeah, so what I'd say about Bergsorg is he's probably the most infuriating player that I've seen since Van der Parra, because he has all the talent. I mean, I was watching the game yesterday, I don't want to skip ahead, but even their commentators were saying that he does all the right things and then the absolute wrong thing. When all he needs to do is pass to somebody, he'll take somebody on. When he needs to shoot, he'll turn back. But I thought, like the rest of the team, he was really good for 45, 55 minutes. His hold-up play was great on Tuesday night against Preston for the first 45, 50 minutes, as I say. But after that, the front three just weren't really involved after that, I didn't think. The ball just kept pinballing back to our defence time and time again. And, you know, I might come in for a bit of stick when I say this, but we're just one of the most unfit teams in the league. We really are. And it all goes back to, in my opinion, the Neil Warnock issue. I mean, notoriously, what he does is he comes into a club, he saves you from relegation, he runs the players into the ground, and then the next season, doesn't really do much in pre-season, takes it easy, which he's going to do at his age. And well, then the team struggles.
Games, John, we're tough on it, wasn't it? 15 million, one of them, mate. And how dare you, you slag the Messiah's pre-season?
But you know, it's borne out over the season. We play well for 55, 60 minutes, and we die in our ass. I mean, one of the goals, I think Stephen Chicken mentioned it in his five conclusions, but Brody Spencer literally looks like he's running in treacle. He really does. Like, he can't keep up with that forward. And the forward, I can't remember his name, sorry, the fellow who scored a hat-trick, but doesn't seem like the fastest, the most nimble striker. But bloody hell, he looked like Mbappe against our back four in that last 10 minutes.
I'll tell you what, John, have you nicked my notes? Because that's what I was going to say. He looked a rotund, really? Shall we say, in that as well when he came on and that goal. But like you said, his speed and power and everything was unbelievable. But I just don't know whether this had any contribution to the fold that we saw after the goal. But you know what, Johnny? I think if you see someone smash a goal in a top corner net, like the Ollie Watkins goal today, you're just thinking, top class, okay, you move on. But we conceded such bad goals, mate. I mean, where do we even start here? Ben Wiles lost the ball, soft, kind of wanted a free kick, didn't get it. Then Dwayne Holmes gets the ball. Pearson kind of loses his man, but then Matos gets it back. A really bad touch. But then, just to counter all that, I mean, I don't think it would have penalty anyway in that as well, but why was he taking the ball back? And just put all that together, and then all of a sudden it's a penalty. It's just incredible, mate, from where it starts to how it ends. It's, doesn't it just sum up Huddersfield Town pretty much the last two seasons, really? Just a complete mess. And I just wonder if the type of goals, I don't know if you agree, but knocks the stuff in even more rather than a worldie, or do football players just think a goal's a goal? Or do you think that really hurts you even more, how it happens like that?
I think it definitely does. I think from like a management fan perspective, if it's a 35-yard strike, I mean, people can always point to things. You're thinking back to that, there was it the West Brom goal, which was a great finish, but there's still things you could try and stop before it, but fair enough. But that was just a catalogue of errors, wasn't it? Like I say, it started with Wiles, Matos, not going to slam him, but it was a shocking error. And then is it a penalty? Is it not a penalty? I was there. It looked like a pen from live, but my view is absolutely shocking. Other end of the ground. Mm. When you watch it again, you can see actually, no, it's not, my personal opinion. There's so many ways in which you can try and prevent it, and it's just weak, and it's kind of, I mean, we've gone from a team that was really quite strong defensively to a team that's really quite poor, and even the second goal, the equaliser, I'd clocked Holmes just stood there, running into that space, massive space on from my view to the away end, looking at it the right hand side of the box, just waiting for the ball to come over, just waiting. And I don't know if it's Thomas. Who should be picking him up as like the kind of an attacker, or if it's kind of like the fullback? But he's acres of space, and he's got time to put his foot on the ball. It's a good run from a striker, but it's nothing incredible, and it's a good finish. But equally, he's kind of 5 yards out. And again, it's basic things. You've got players in the box in acres of space who, when they've got the ball, got time to take a touch and pick a pass out. And at that stage, it wasn't, I mean, it's not late on. You're still at 1-1. The third and fourth goal. Again, there's still a catalogue of errors there, but tiredness or that kind of like mentality of we've just thrown it away, can you still put 100% in at that point? You should be, but mentally it's a harder thing to do. But when you're 1-1, you're thinking, okay, we've messed up, but we've still got opportunity to take a point away at Preston, which would have been really good. And to kind of just lose your heads at that it's not good enough. And like I said, ultimately, it's affected us in goal difference as well, which is at this stage of the season absolutely huge. But it's just something that's not acceptable. And I think who you kind of ultimately point the finger at, it's quite hard. But yeah, it all starts with our own mistakes, our own downfall, which has been the case. There's plenty of examples you can point to the last couple of seasons where we've done that, really. So it is frustrating.
Yeah, it was shocking. And just the bold, really, and that as well. It was incredible. I thought we were kind of pressing well and like, you know, harrying them a little bit, but they just like went to pieces. And you kind of, when you watch it back, so like a few days on and watch it back today, just the space and time they had, like you mentioned there, almost for that second goal, it was ridiculous. Like there were no one, you know, kind of near him and that as well. And then, like you were saying there, you know, let's get him right, Militon. When he came on, I thought, you know, he seemed to be a bit of a cult hero for them, but his pace and power, it were embarrassing, really. We're like, and the one guy that kind of epitomised it, well, I thought it was such a good game up to a point, but just ran out of fuel, were Brody Spence. I thought he were, you know, probably one of our best players on the pitch, but just exhausted, though. He was just kind of chasing shadows. And at the end of fourth goal, kind of Spencer was covering as a centre-back. And the thing was just a total shambles, Josh. And I think it's quite alarming, really, isn't it? That, you know, I know we've had that many beatings, and I think some stat today that, I think if we'd lose another one by four or more, which potentially...
Just about to say that, you're taking out of the mouth. I think eight times, isn't it, we've conceded four or more this season. If it happens once more, it'll be a club record.
Yeah, but there was no way you could... You were just thinking, there's no way we're going to hang on here. Really.
Win summit this year.
Yeah. And Preston were just... It was just obvious what were going to happen in that as well. But even at 2-1, you're thinking, could we do anything? I mean, the only thing that he did... Josh, he brought on all the strikers, and how many times, I mean, we sat here against Rotherham and we should have changed it, but it just felt right. I didn't get what he was thinking there, because like, I know he was just trying to change it, but all of a sudden we had all these strikers on. We took Matos off, who like was a kind of a it was almost, you know, sometimes you play that computer game where you just can't be out. Sometimes you just sling every striker on and you're just thinking, I wonder what'll happen here. And you know, I'm thinking of both Football Manager games back in the day and stuff, but It just never worked, did it? You got like Ealy coming on later on. We had Pat Jones and people just bumping into each other, and basically
you can't win, though, can he? Because it's like if you go to Rotherham, people are saying put strikers on, and he doesn't, and then he tries to go for win at Preston, even at 1-1, and then it just goes to absolute pot. But it's one of them for me. It's just it all comes back to me that we've got no one in midfield who can control a midfield. We've all said it for ages and ages and ages. Even at 1-1, you need a player in there to put a foot on ball and go, right, 10 minutes, let's just calm this down, let's keep ball, let's knock it about. Because we haven't got the ability to do that, and we genuinely play, we'll let you have the ball and we'll try and pick the ball off you. As soon as we get it, we can't do anything with it, and it just turns around again and it comes back at us and we just go to pot. And as soon as they get the second goal, it's job done, because then they're quite happy to let us have the ball. Yeah, I mean, they're happy then to pick us off and go. And it happens time and time again. Like you say, for eight times this season, it's happened that where we can't control a game of football. Even if we go 1-0 up, as soon as anything happens and goes against us, we just lose a shit. And that's all it is. We can't control a game, and that's what it boils down to. And we've not been able for years. We've never replaced that Aaron Moy type figure since that time, who could do that and try and do that. Lewis O'Brien, yeah, but he picked up a ball and drove forward with it. We've never really controlled a game, been able to control a game of football since, and that's why we're getting beat so heavily, because teams work out how to play at this level.
It was shocking.
That's all right, because even in that first half, which I say we ended up with 1-0, but to my mate with me, like I say, he's a Torquay fan, so he didn't watch time week in, week out. He just said, like, you can't pass a ball. Like, you got the ball and it was just like it's quick or pressure or there was no plan. Whereas Preston Art in this league, they're not a great footballing team. They've had a manager for a couple of years, which helps. But I mean, they've even got Dwayne Holmes and who were controlling and taking the ball and running and passing it and playing some good stuff. And you think, why? Surely we can pick up a couple of players who can just put the foot on the ball and pass it and then move and take it again, or just control the ball, have it for maybe five or six, seven passes. I don't think we passed it in their half more than four or five times. Certainly controlled. Do you mean where it's like one and a move around? Preston has some really good stuff, and like it's just not necessarily just in the Preston game, but we never seem to be able to do that. Every time we're in possession, it's so rushed, so panicked, and it's reactive rather than any kind of like form of planning. In that first half of Preston game, it was so evident. And I mean, it worked fine in the sense that we got going 1-0up, but all Preston needs to do is just take a bit of calm. They weren't worried about us having the ball because, like I said, we had the ball and we ended up doing, I mean, that was why the first goal happened. But you absolutely nailed on the head. That was the key problem in that game.
And then obviously news filtering through with Norwich, David Wagner doing his best to relegate us 2-0 up at Hillsborough, 2-2. But yeah, you try and take some positives out. And then just the whistle's gone, chaos. I think everyone's just in a state of shock, really. I know we've seen that many defeats we should be used to it now, but we were like, how the hell have we lost 4-1 to? I mean, the guy got his hat trick in 8 minutes. Embarrassing. But like you say, we made him look like Mbappe. And so I'm kind of walking out the ground, and then all of a sudden there's a carry on with Delano Bergsøe. We might as well, you know, bring it up now and that. So I've got to be honest with this. I think it's where sometimes a video without any context can make him look bad. So what I saw was, and again, it's where do you draw the line with stuff? Because, for example, Sober Thomas didn't even like clap. I think he might have just clapped the fans and he ran. Obviously, the tunnel's down at the other end at Preston. He just went down the tunnel. A few of the fans, two of the players came to halfway line, you know, kind of looked up and didn't do much and then just kind of walked off. But I'm always one of those, like, actions speak louder than words and stuff. Although, you know, I did get after Darren Moore, to be fair, when kind of he walking down the tunnel. I think a manager's got to show a bit more than that. But the Bergsøe thing was a bit of a strange one, really. So he was the one that came up right to the away end. And he was kind of holding his hands up. You do see this quite a lot with kind of, I've seen it in like Germany and another kind of continental where it's like they really do come up and like put their hands up because in Germany they've got to stand in front of the fans. I saw Bayern Munich do it for a week, unbelievable, when they got battered and they've got to face that humiliation with the fans. And obviously it's a bit different there because they kind of clap back and cheer back. But obviously the vitriol was big. And to be honest, there was some, you could hear some of the language on there and that as well. I didn't have any real issues with it, to be honest. I thought Bergsøe, at least he, you know, kind of tried to, you know, kind of put out a bonfire really in that as well. And if he'd gone down the tunnel, he'd been criticised for that. But obviously this video's doing the rounds of people fighting them and stuff. And again, a couple of the players a bit like after yesterday's like, we need to stick together. But yeah, I don't know, John, did you have any issues with the video? Because, I mean, it's not a good look, but again, it just gives some of the meatheads the chance to fire into a player who's, to me, did more than most on Tuesday to try and, you know, kind of get some points.
I don't think there's anything wrong with this on either aspect, really. So Bergsøe comes over and Bergsøe apologises. And then fans give off to him and have a go at him. Like, football's an emotional sport. Like, I'll be honest, I stopped watching after 3-1. I turned on the Arsenal-Bayern Munich match instead. But I was fuming after the game. And if I'd have been at the game, I'd have probably been shouting all sorts at the players because it's an emotional sport. You know, that's the reason that we love football, because it gets you really high and it gets you really low. So it's, you know, everybody criticises the fans and stuff for booing and whatever. And, you know, I don't think booing during a match is conducive to a good result or whatever. But, you know, we've been watching some of the worst football that I've seen since I've been supporting this club for the past 2 years. So passions are going to spill over from time to time. And, you know, I don't see anything wrong with what Bergsøe did. I don't know what people were shouting to him. I couldn't make it out from the video. But if people are having a go at him, then fair enough, because there's been plenty of times this season where he's not been good enough. But at least he fronted up to it and at least he accepted it. As you say, there's other players who don't come down and they don't take the medicine and stuff. But I think all of this, I mean, if you were asked to put together all the ingredients of a relegation season, right, they'd be there. Yeah, but you know, you're drawing 1-1 away at a team who are going for the playoffs, and you've played relatively well, to be honest. You gave away a dodgy penalty from a mistake, and then you can see 3 goals in, you know, the time it takes to watch an advert. And then a player comes over and he starts arguing with the fans. And then the penalty that we'll come on to later happens against us. So if you're putting everything together, this is what happens in a relegation season. So it's only to be expected, you know. But I don't see any issue with it. Don't see any issue with Bergsøe reacting. I don't see any issue with people having a go. It's an emotional sport, and emotions took over in that instance.
Johnny and Josh, much of a story, a non-story. Did you have much opinion?
I was there and I'd left before that happened, because I think, I mean, a few players came over. I stayed for a decent amount of time. It looked like all the players were turning around and going, really. So I didn't see that part. I'm not going to name names, but there were a couple of players who shook a few hands and kind of like looked and saw Town players coming over to clap and then just turned around and walked off. So I'd always rather someone player come up. I don't think he did it in an aggressive way. I think he was basically kind of, the general message was look, try and stay with us, like stay calm. Do you know what I mean? We're working. Okay, some people are swearing at you and shouting in your face. You might use slightly different words to that effect, but that was a message he was trying to put across. Like John said, I'd much rather a player come round and show some passion, and even if he ends up kicking off, then just turn around and walk away, which a few players did. I'm not going to name them, but a few of them did that. So I've no problem with it. I don't think that instance, that particular confrontation was that bad, really. I think it's a bit of passion. It's a player trying to say, look, we understand, we're working hard, and fans are obviously upset. And I think he's had people swearing at him and shouting in his face, I think he took it quite well as well. I think he kept relatively calm in the situation. So to me, he got put on by second tier, and it should try to kind of get a bit of spark, a flame of fans shouting at a player and a player kicking off back. It wasn't that at all from what I saw from the year. I wasn't there at that point in time. But I certainly didn't take it in that way. I just think it's a bit of passion. I'd rather have someone fighting than people just walking off and not looking arsed.
Josh?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's much to it, to be honest. It's one of them. You've been beat 4-1, passion's running high, people are pissed off, players are probably pissed off and upset. It's just one of them. As long as note was said that's well out of order, then it's, you know what I mean, it's one of them. It's just passion's running high, isn't it?
So we drive home from Preston. We're still not in the bottom three, but we know Birmingham are playing Cardiff on Wednesday, and we expect Birmingham being at home to drop us in the bottom three. Lo and behold, Birmingham 0, Cardiff City 1. And honestly, it's the up that just really kills you in this sport, isn't it? And that as well. So we head to Bristol. The one thing that, honestly, I did a podcast like I do every Thursday with like the other Yorkshire teams. Obviously, the guy from Rotherham, Matt, is, you think we've got problems. Honestly, he just eats it Blackburn to beat Leeds 1. Like, I can't wait till Thursday's show, to be honest with you. Because he just threw it in as a red and says it's a banana skin. Honestly, it's incredible. I don't know if he had a bet on it, but amazing. But I tipped us to lose 4-0. I just, mentally, the collapse, I honestly couldn't see how Brighton Ryan could get a tune out of his team. And obviously, Bristol City beat Blackburn 5. This is where the championship just like blows your head off, because Bristol City beat Blackburn 5-0. We've been absolute battered, you know, in half an hour by Preston, and you're thinking there's only one way it's going to go on Saturday, and that as well. And we'll come on to the game now, where, you know, I think we played the same formation. I've got down here 4-4-1-1. We made two changes, which were quite surprising, to be honest with you, because Tom Lees and Jack Radoni, where it sounds like as well after the game that I don't think they should have played, they weren't fit. But obviously Brighton Riders knows it's such a massive game, and it's almost like bollocks to it. We need freshening up. The things that I kind of was interested in the press conference, it was like, we need fresh players, we need freshening up. So putting that together and what happened on Tuesday night and the fact Bristol City come back with a 5-0 win, the performance that we put in were quite unbelievable. Obviously, we'll kind of go through it in order, really, and that as well. But obviously, Rebecca Welsh is going to play a lot of part in this discussion as well. But I suppose, as we started, honestly, just watching it back, Bristol City offered nothing in the first half. And even though Town, I didn't feel, were like typical Town, it was very slow, but we looked solid. We did look a team scarred by it, which were quite shocking as well. This is what I don't get. It's how can you have that? And then just like play as if we're playing with freedom and that as well. It was just weird.
I just think, Cozzy, just on that, you know, that Preston result, I know it looks really, really bad. I'm not going to stand here and tell everyone that it was a good result. But I think you can compartmentalise that as a coach. I really do. I think you can say, look, we played well for 55 minutes. We didn't play well for the last half hour, but we held in there. And then on the 83rd, 84th minute, Brighton Ryder made subs to, you know, bring on strikers and change the game. You know, we went for a win and we lost the game 4-1. So I think you can compartmentalise that a little bit. So I know us as fans, it looks absolutely dreadful, but I think he'll have been able to say to him, look, you know, we played well for such and such. Now we can go to Bristol. They're not as good as Preston. And we can go out there. If we execute the game plan better, then we can win the game. And I think that's kind of the attitude that we went into the game with.
We did the first half. I've not got much written down, to be honest with you. There was a Thomas again. It's incredible to hear people say that it shouldn't be in the team. Honestly, I know a few people who say it shouldn't be in the team. Without him, mate, we'd be like Rotherham United. We'd have been down 2 weeks ago. But yeah, put Bergsorg in, we're a bit like a bit of a collision. But again, I just saw a bit more of a braver Bergsorg, a bit more of a team Bergsorg, in my opinion, this game and that as well. And then all of a sudden, Brody Spencer just appeared from nowhere on the back of a Thomas Cross Josh. And I don't know what you thought, but I thought the Bristol guys thought it would have like a really good chance. I mean, obviously, he's not known for his goals.
A good chance. It's one of them. I think it, you don't know whether he's seen it a bit late or not, but he's got there, hasn't he? That's the thing. He's got on to end of it. I think it's a really good chance. I just think he's either mistimed Zed or he's probably not expecting it to get through to him. It's a great late run into box, and I just think he's got to do better with it. I think it's a really good chance from what? Were he 5 yard out, yeah. 6 yard out?
To not
put it on target, it's one of them where you sort of just think, is it going to be our day or not? It's just it's one of them. It's not the greatest header. Whether, like I say, whether he's just seen it late, it's come over top of a defender, you don't really know. It's like I say, only he can answer that. But I think it was a good chance.
He was. And Johnny, coming up, Josh Crum, he seemed to get his mojo back. I think he played well on Tuesday. I think the goal, he's a bit of a confidence guy, isn't he, and that as well. And there were that chance of the first half, a difficult one. He kind of couldn't get it out under his feet, really, and that as well, and slashed it wide. But I just thought anything we did well yesterday, we'll come on to his. I've got written down here that scorpion kick. Was it Giroud? Well, it was Giroud, wasn't it?
Giroud, wasn't it?
Yeah, but he's such a player. He's in bursts, isn't it, Josh Crum, Johnny? I suppose he wouldn't be at Huddersfield if he kind of did it week in, week out. But again, I thought, obviously, we'll come on to the goal, if you want to come on to it now, to be honest, mate. But I thought anything good up top, mate, we're all pretty much to do with him, really.
Yeah, I agree. He likes the chance you're referring to there, where he kind of doesn't quite get on his feet, and it's really good run. He breaks well. It's a good run for him to even make the opportunity to kind of receive the ball as well. And it's what we've known about Crumb for a while, isn't it? He kind of starts to kind of not really be in games and not really take his chances, or kind of, you know, shies away from the ball, but his impact on the match isn't necessarily always there. But then he comes out of it and he does have a, like you say, like a purple patch. Like I say, he's obviously a form player, confidence player. If he wants to have, a purple patch in the last three games, it would be useful. But I mean, 2-2, he's kind of can't ask much more than that. The goal, again, it's a little bit fortunate, I guess, from where is it Radoni plays it in and it kind of comes off a Bristol player and falls to him, but it's a really good finish. It's all right to say it's easy, it fell with him, but as much as, do you know what I mean, he wasn't expecting the ball to come to that, it's taken a ricochet, he's readjusted, he's put his foot through it well, and it's gone in. So yeah, it's a good goal. But I thought we played really well the first half. Bristol didn't have a shot. So that's really impressive from a town perspective. I thought we pressed really well. There were quite a few times where we've intercepted the ball with a press, and it's we've turned it around quickly and actually be able to find a few passes as well, which we didn't do in the pressing game. I mean, it's not to get too excited. The passing wasn't amazing still, but we've actually done. We have improved. Maybe that's like what John was saying. It's the fact that we've been able to look at the pressing game and say, look, we've been lucky unlucky in regards to the Matos goal. It's not worked. Let's put it to bed and move on, because there's clearly no hangover. The whole players were brave in what they were trying to do. It didn't look like a team that were desperate for points with four and now three games left and struggling. It looked like a team that had a bit about them, had confidence, and they grew into the game. And I thought we played really well. And I thought we deserved to get something out of it. And I think other than the point, the only thing we can really take out of is the fact that the team's not, it's not gone. They've clearly got still that confidence in themselves. If they do play like that, there are points to be had in the games that we've got left. Because I thought it was a really good showing.
It was, and Cameron Pring was the guy who deflected the shot in the path of Coroma. And yeah, there's no point holding back from it now. Let's get to the subject matter at yesterday. I honestly thought we'd be going down to 10 or 9 men early on. The cards that came out quickly for Spencer and Matos was after 7 and 12 minutes and that as well. I mean, I think, you know, the Matos one was, you know, maybe fair enough, but Spencer one seemed a little bit harsh. But the one thing that kind of concerned me with Rebecca Welsh like early on was just the quickness of just like how the cards came out. There were no like kind of let's have a little think or assess on that as well. They were proper like, which obviously when we'll get into the penalty now, but it was just, I think, just having a look, I think she averages like 4 bookings a game, and she hardly averages any red cards and that as well. But I mean, I don't know where to start with a goal, Josh, but it's incredible, mate. I mean, it's only Huddersfield Town where you could possibly get this, probably. You've got the guy who, one of the penalties that gets us into the Premier League, sends the penalty past Lee Nichols to maybe get us back into League One, which he tried, you know, he played a big part in, like, you know, trying to get us up the other way. You've got, I mean, I suppose before we come on the penalty, 90 plus 5 minutes were added on. I mean, we do, let's be honest, we do shit house, we do waste time. We've done it, we do it a lot. So, coming to you, Josh, do you think, I mean, the first time looking this time business, there's quite a difference of opinions from a lot of Town fans, journalists. Some people said, fair enough, I didn't have any issues with the time.
Well, it's minimum time added, isn't it?
Yeah, so I know. Matt, if Matt were here, he were very vocal on it on our internal communications channel. Did you have an issue with that we were playing 11 minutes on at the end?
I mean, it all depends on how the referee determines is the extra 5 minutes. There were one. What was the one sub in extra time? So what's that, an extra minute? And then I don't think there were many injuries laying down on the floor that for that long to warrant that amount of time being added on. So yeah, that's one question. That's one question from the start before you even get onto the decision of the penalty. But like I say, I think that's where everyone sort of does differ. It is minimum in it. That's the problem. It's not five. It's not 95 and blow your whistle. So it totally depends on what Rebecca Welsh thought was the adequate amount of time to add on, I guess.
Johnny, do you have any issues with Ollie Turton being brought on? You know what? I've kind of got a little bit more of a different opinion than last night. I turning your back and this, that and the other, but I've just looked at it again at the end of this. Bollocks, never mind turning your back and, you know, him being match fit. Apparently we're apologising in the dressing room, but it's just bollocks, mate, isn't it? There's no point looking for, I mean, they were saying, I read a Bristol piece and that as well, that because I looked at it, a couple of the guys did appeal for the penalty at their end, and the guy, I forgot his name, Cameron Pring, who, you know, set up our goal, he apparently said to their manager it was a definite penalty, but it was never a penalty in a million years, mate, were it?
No, it's not a penalty. I mean, in situations like this, I guess I'll go out to a few people, a couple of them Leeds fans, and ask what they think, because they're not going to give you a blue and white perspective, are they? And I've not found anyone, other than someone who's trying to wire me up, anyone who thinks it's a pen. Even if you flick through the Bristol forum, which I've just done then, because I was Googling to see which game it was, Rebecca Welsh ref us at home, which I equally think the referee, irrespective of gender, was poor in that game. And it comes up with the Bristol forum, I've just kind of flicked through, and even they're saying that, I mean, it was harsh. They'll take it, as you do, but it was harsh. So it's absolutely categorically not a pen. I'm not even going to give it the airtime to run through the reasons why I think it is. It's just not. But going back to your point on Turton, no, I don't think so. Because if you actually look at defending in that piece there before the decision, he's good. He's sharp. He's tracking the man. He passes the man over. He gets out quickly to stop the cross, which is good. He stops the cross. Okay, it does hit his elbow, but I mean, his body was behind that. It's not a pen. So no, he's done absolutely nothing wrong. He doesn't necessarily even turn his back. He is still side on. Even if he goes front on, his arm's still there. So it probably makes the exact same impact given the distance. So I don't think you could even be that critical to kind of join. What could you do next time to prevent the referee having to make the decision? There isn't a lot there. So I don't have an issue with bringing Turton on. I think if you hadn't, someone else would still be there blocking that, or they failed to block the cross. Had they failed to block the cross, maybe it wouldn't have been a pen, but you can't blame that for him. I think his defending that situation is how it should be, really.
Time,
it's just an awful decision.
Plus 11, mate, did you have an issue with it, or did
time, it's one of them. It's one of them where, by all accounts, again, I didn't watch the highlights, I wasn't at the game, I didn't watch the game. There's a few comments from people in the Bristol forum say about time waste, stuff like that. And I think from reading Stephen Chicken's final conclusions, he touches on the fact that there was quite a bit of stoppages in those 5 minutes with substitutions and a free kick from Town. So it's one of them. Do you know what I mean? If you're adding time while you're adding time on, and then obviously it looks worse because the goals are whatever it is, 10-11, but then the penalty takes, no doubt, took a minute and a half to take it. So it's one of them where I was watching it on Flash Scores thinking it's 8-9 saying in the kitchen, what on earth are we doing here? But it's you don't know, do you? And if you're adding time on, Town slid it in when they're gifted to defend in those minutes. And if we conceded, it's maybe you might have been a bit more annoyed at it, but it's one of them where if those extra minutes weren't in play, then fair enough. But what I don't understand is, I'd love someone to explain this to me, that over 45 minutes we've accrued 5 or 6 minutes, how then in 6 minutes do we accrue a further 5? That's what I never get, because they always seem to add on, we've got to play a full 6 minutes. If the ball stops, we've got to play 6 minutes. But we don't play that for the 45, the 2 45s half. So why do we do it in the extra time? That's the only thing I would say. But my issue is more with the penalty than the time.
John, you couldn't make it up, could you? Because like Brighton Ryan saying his press conference on Friday, mentioned them three horrible letters that still haunts us from Nottingham Forest, V, an R. And obviously we're referring to the fact that Matt has got some other ball on Tuesday. But I think I actually thought she'd blown for full time. She were kind of like, and then he's got the ball, Naki Wells. I'm thinking, you're having my eyes out here, and he'd like give it. But what were your instant thoughts, mate, when you kind of saw it unfolding? Just like, this is just destined for League One under Stuart Town.
Yeah, I mean, so I was kind of saying to you before the podcast started, I was texting my friend, so I was watching it on a stream, and just to go back to the added time, I am that sad person that records like how long people are down, and Michael Hellick was down for 1:51 literally at the beginning of extra time. Their player was down for 50 seconds, and then there was another 30 seconds wasted, so I have no issue with the extra time. The penalty was given in the 98th minute. Play 98 minutes because we've time wasted. I was actually texting my friend and I said, Hellick's been down for nearly 2 minutes here. What is he playing at? Like, they're just going to add it all on. He said, he's killing the momentum of the game. Well, there was no momentum. Bristol City had no momentum. So that's all our issue. That's all I'd say on that. But anyway, my friend was a couple of minutes ahead of me and he texted me and he said, that's classic time. We've given away a penalty. And I was watching it. I was thinking, oh my God, giving away a penalty. No. So I turned my phone off, just kept watching the stream. And when the penalty was given, I thought, this can't be it. This actually can't be the moment the penalty is given away, because it didn't look one to me at all. The only thing I will say is that from the very first minute, I felt like the referee was reffing it as if she was a Premier League referee. So there was the yellow card for Spencer, the yellow card for Matos. They were very Premier League yellow cards. And that handball is the most Premier League handball that I've ever seen. I was mentioning again before the pod that the Bournemouth, the penalty that Manchester United got yesterday, it bounced off one player and then it literally hit Adam Smith on the shoulder, and his shoulder was next to his arm. I mean, how that's a penalty, I do not know. But it just felt like such a Premier League decision. And the thing that... It doesn't really, of course it annoys me that we conceded, but the thing that annoys me the most about this is Ollie Turton's been out injured for, I don't know, it feels like Ollie Turton's been out injured since before COVID. He's been injured so friggin' long.
14 months.
14 months, and he's had such wretched luck, and then he's crying in the changing room. And it's not the fact that we could get relegated by 2 points, which we probably will do, but that poor lad has put in so much effort to get back playing football, and he's in tears because her referee's made a dreadful decision that she didn't need to make. She did not need to make. She could have just taken a minute. I think the linesman was a bit close as well.
How quick she get it?
She was so close as well. If you look it back, she's staring directly at it.
Yeah.
And she gives that penalty.
It's just a linesman or something, man, you know?
It strikes me as and I hate when I say stuff like this, I play football every week, but to a very, very, very bad level, a terrible level. But you can tell with some of the referees have played football, and then some of the younger referees just clearly have never played football, and they're so to the letter of the law, oh yeah, that's a handball, but they've got no situational awareness. I don't know if Rebecca Walsh has played football, but from judging some of her decisions, she's not. And it just, but I went back to it. It's all the ingredients for a relegation season. And we conceded that penalty. You knew Naki Wells was going to score, even though he probably should have booted it over the stand. do us all a favour. But then I opened the Sky Sports app and I checked all the other results. I just thought, well, That's it. It looks like a relegation, smells like a relegation. It is a relegation.
Honestly, you think that body blow at D-Dale on Tuesday were bad? I mean, to come back from this, it's going to take something else. Josh, I suppose it doesn't really matter, does it? But obviously Brighton right run about bad and stuff. I'm not convinced. I think the trouble is you see a lot of this stuff now where a ref, the difference is it's like when it's not given and then the ref goes to the screen and then can overturn it,
yeah,
and then gives it. But the fact that she gave it, I'm unconvinced, yeah, that she'd have gone to that screen and overturned
it's be
it.
Like, and it got to be sort of clear and obvious to overturn it. So I think even if you have it, I don't think it's been overturned. I think the thing for me is like, well, like Johnny and John have both said, it's how, one, I don't know what Ollie Turton's supposed to do. I don't know where he's supposed to go. He's dived in. His arm's not flailing out here. It's not like that. He's been hit. The guy's hit a ball at him from about 3 or 4 yards, like 3 yards away. So I don't know where he can go. And two, it's how quickly she's made that decision at that point of a game. And I think, like I say, it just comes down to experience and things like that. It's been a rapid rise up for her, hasn't it? I think she only refed her first EFL game in 2001. And then 2003, she had a Premier League game, and now around then. But you just think maybe like a bit more experienced ref looks at that and goes, I'm going to take my time here and judge whether this is a penalty. It's a big call. And it was just how quick she gets. She had to be, you have to be, Keith Hackett or something said something. I saw something on Twitter where it's like, you've got to be 100% certain if you're giving that penalty. If you're not 100% certain that that's a penalty, if it's not clear as day that that's a penalty at that point of that game, you can't give the penalty. But she obviously thinks it is, and fair enough. It's her decision, isn't it? But from all the replays, because I think they say that back in the changing room, Brighton Wright said they'd spoke to the referee and the assistants, and they're not allowed to look at the replay.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, it's baffling, really, isn't it? When you come out, because realistically, that's not what's relegated us. If we do go down, we've been crap all season, but it's decisions like that and 2 points in this vital point of a season that can put you down. You know what I mean? It's now very much sort of, it's a little bit more out of our hands now, where if we win that game, it's very much in our hands, because you win your two home games, you're safe. And that's the problem.
I think that doesn't do the whole thing any favours. And we've talked about this, I think it was last season. It's just the pure arrogance of the entire referee culture. That
you can see
Hellett going up to her quite calmly. I mean, she's not going to change her mind at this point in time. He points to his captain and she just goes, go away, go away, go away. And it's like, it's not how you speak to people. And it's the fact that afterwards, it's just radio silence, there's nothing. You've got, Sky Sports putting it on, kind of independent journalists putting it on Twitter, etc. And it's just silence, nothing. We'll hear nothing. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, you're quite right, Josh. We'll point to that and say that's what relegated us, but it's not the case. So, I mean, there's things we've had in our own ability to change that, but it is something that will hurt you, and you get nothing. There's no accountability. No. I'm not saying refs should be putting the camera in front of the camera after a game. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's what they sign up to. But I said last season, there should be something where they have to do some form of report, which is paper-based, put on a website somewhere, and if you're sad enough as me, you can go and read it, just to understand. Either she can say,
just say what she sees. Yeah, this is what I saw.
After, do you know what I mean? I've got one chance to see it, understand that. I can see now I was wrong. We take the learning. It's not going to change the result. If we go down, we still go down. But at least you've got someone who's put like the likes of Turton professionally and the likes of us, do you know what I mean, through years and years and years of supporting town, have got something to even just like, okay, right, well, at least she's admitted it. Because, do you know what I mean? We're way past 24 hours and I'm still fuming about this. Absolutely fuming about it. Went to gym this morning, mate, said, are you over the penalty? I just went, no, don't even start. Because there's just nothing. And the person who's done it, I'm not saying she's not going to be beating herself up, do you know what I mean, sat at home doing what she's doing now, but there's just no accountability towards whatsoever. And the radio silence is what annoys me the most. People will make mistakes. It's sport. We're humans. Fair enough. We've seemed to have had a bad run of them over the last 2 years. Not to repeat, do you know what I mean, what happened at Wembley, but just the fact there's just nothing there. We don't get to see. They'll discuss it. They'll have an opinion on it. But we as fans are invested in this. This is what football is about. And it just seems so unfair that it's just, that's it. Decision's made. Move on. You've got to forget about it. Well, I don't think that's right.
That's just refereeing across the board, isn't it, for me? I mean, you look at, did Rotherham get one the other day against him, against West Brom, where he's basically Lee Peltier dead outside
that box. Made it look a stonewaller yesterday, Josh, did that.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just ridiculous. But like you say, it's like Johnny said there, no one's come out even after that and said, I made a horrible decision, I'm sorry. And that's all you need. Like, yeah. No, it's not going to change anything, but at least you can say, look, bad decision, we all make them, I'm sorry. Yeah, we can be pissed off with it. But at least they've held their hands up. But it's not. It's just it's iron curtain down, isn't it? No, we're not going to say out about
You're not going to get that. No. I mean, I watched that Bayern Munich Dortmund game the other week, and they had the referee interviewed after the game, which were quite refreshing. You were talking in German, so I don't have a clue what I was saying. But the part of the matter is that they're fronting up. But like I said, just even if she'd have come on though, and yesterday said, "Oh, I've made a balls or whatever," it wouldn't have mattered to me, mate, because I'd have been still. Yeah. But, you know, it's just, but I know what you mean.
We can still be angry, but at least someone's owning up to a mistake, innit? That's the problem. But
I think there's a real crisis of, I could talk about this all night. I think there's a real crisis of officiating in this country. I've seen a lot of stuff on Twitter last night that was just, quite frankly, misogynistic about this referee. I don't think it's got anything to do with agenda.
Nothing to do with that.
The standard of refereeing in this country is abysmal. That penalty that Rotherham conceded the other day, where the guy handballed it 5 yards outside the box. West Brom again, where who was it? Yeah, the West Brom player literally punched the ball over the crossbar. And then you've got some of the absolute shambolic decisions that are going on in the Premier League. And things that don't help for me, you know, I've watched a couple of Premier League games this season, and a decision's been given or not given, and they go to Mike Riley or Dermot Gallagher in the studio. And they just come out and automatically agree with the referee. And then later on, they'll change their mind. So there's just ambiguity all the time. Nobody knows what's happening. And I was saying to you guys beforehand, I feel like I don't know the rules of football anymore. Because it's not as black and white as it used to be. It's, you know, if somebody could come out, you know, Howard Webb or whoever's head of the frigging referees could come out and say, and just give us a reason why that was a penalty, and they could stand on TV and just gaslight everyone. It's kind of like the thing that I go back to with the bloody Arsenal Newcastle earlier in the season. That Newcastle goal that was the ball was out, and then the ball was crossed in, and Gabriel was fouled in the middle, and then the fellow who tapped in was offside. So there are three reasons why the goal should have been disallowed, and then a couple of days later on TV, you have Gary Neville and everyone just coming on TV and saying, "Oh well, the ball actually wasn't out, and it wasn't a foul, and it was." You know, what is going on? Like refereeing is just there's a crisis in it at the moment. It's just honestly, I could talk about this all night. It just really winds me up.
John, I think there is a real problem, but I think to a certain extent we are to blame, because I was chatting about this. Referees have been a major topic in our WhatsApp groups at the moment, and I think. Ultimately, if you've got more, it's like to become a footballer is really hard, because you've got most children want to do it. You've got massive big pool of people to pick from, and only the best get through. So the quality is really high. Refereeing, why do you want to do it? Because if you're getting to League One Championship level, you've started on a park refereeing John during at Sunday League, and I'm sure John's perfectly pleasant to referees, but I'm sure he's seen, and I have, the attitude and referees getting knocked out, getting punched, getting hit, and this is at like children's games. So fair enough, you might be professional, you're getting a reasonable salary in the Premier League and Championship, but you're not in the Isthmian, you're not kind of County League football, you're certainly not Sunday League. You're doing it for 50 quid. Well, I'm not doing that. I'm not getting knocked out for 50 quid. Sod that, I'll move on. So you ask yourself, who are these people who are starting getting knocked out on a Sunday and then making it to the Championship? The pool's not there. So inherently, the culture towards referees is, to blame, because the attractiveness to go and do that as a job, it isn't really there. And it's how we change that, really. So you're attracting more referees to the game. Therefore, you can choose what referees you've got. And then the elite referees at the top level are going to be better, because more people want to do it. Whilst you're just getting dogs abuse 90 minutes, at least you might be getting 90 grand in the Premier League, but you're not in the National League South. You're not, do you know what I mean, county level football. So,
Johnny,
people just want to do it.
At our level, Johnny, obviously, Bundesliga 2 have got VAR. I mean, much has been made about the refreshing thing about the Championship. When someone scores, you know it's a goal, and, you know, we can celebrate, and none of that. People love that. But obviously, I suppose we're coming from I suppose we can talk about it both ways, can't we? We've seen the Forest thing where it didn't get given, and we've seen, obviously, yesterday we saw the on Tuesday. Is it a matter of taking rough smooth, or would you bring in Varmint? The money's surely got to be there. Do it second-tier football, mate? So the other critics will be like, well, you're going to be third-tier anyway, so it don't matter. But would you bring it in, mate? Would you bring it in?
Yeah. The cost, I think Prize Football covered this in the last episode before. I think he said it costs about £3 million a year, which isn't nothing for the Premier League, but a little bit more for us. But would I do it? I don't know, because even though this might counter our argument as to whether it's penalty or not, I agree with what Josh said there. I think if VAR looked at that under the current rules of VAR, I don't think they'd overturn it. I don't think they'd say it's a clear and obvious error because it hits his hand. The interpretation of the rules, it should be that it's not a penalty, but is it clear and obvious? So I wouldn't take VAR now because I don't think VAR is being used properly. And I think the rules where you can look at something and can't look at something are ridiculous. And when you can overturn it, can't overturn it. I think VAR should be very, very simple. You should have someone watching it, which I mean back at Stockley Park, wherever they're doing it. And they'll be able to see that and think, that's controversial. That might not be. You might not have seen that exactly how I've seen it. Go over, look at it. So Rebecca can go over and have a look at it. She can see it again because she's made a decision fast. If she then turns around and says, right, I've watched that. It's still a pen. Right, okay, fine, carry on. She then has an option to look at it and say, right, now I've seen it again from this angle and I've seen it a little bit slower. I don't want it to be a pen, overturn it. That it's simple. That's how VAR should be used. But at the moment, the rules are so weird about how, when and where we use VAR, and if the ref's in it, you can't do it. And when can you rescind a red? Why? Just give it as an option that the ref can go, that's happened really quickly. I think I've seen what I've seen. Can I go look at a video? Can I see one or two replays? Because that's all we do when we see it on TV, and you quite quickly form an opinion. So allow a professional to do that without these rules and regulations around it. And you won't get masses of stoppages every game because it's big decisions. And refs just go, look, I just want 2 minutes to look at it again. And that's what happens in other sport. I just don't get why we've made it so complicated. But to answer your question in a long way, as it is now, no, because I don't see the benefit to it. But if they change the rules of VAR, then yeah, absolutely, because nothing worse than having decisions go against you, which have massive impact.
One that's going to run, and obviously the whistle blows eventually, what's it, about 8:30 at night, and we've lost 2-1 at... So it was all we had lost. It felt like I left, didn't it?
Yeah, it
did. 1-0 at Bristol City. So at this point, we'll just take a break where me and Matt talk about McDonald's, which is probably a lot better than talking about VAR. So we'll just play for an advert.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Cozzy, what's your favourite away day?
Matt, it's got to be the City Ground at Nottingham. Just old school stadium, you're right near the pitch, great atmosphere. But there's nothing like playing at home. Same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app.
At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And we're back. And now before we talk about the relegation conundrum, myself and John, obviously, on the back of two great wins against Killer, we had to, well, Matt, naughtily, had to bring others into play. I'd probably had a bit more knowledge than Killer. So it's Cozzy versus the world.
Bold man responsible.
Okay, thank you, future Matt. We've taken Cozzy versus the world on tour. And first up on tour, we have John McNamara, aka Bloggy Potter from Terrier Blog from Hogwarts. How are we doing, John?
Not bad, thanks, Matt. How are you?
Good. What have you been up to since Terrier blog finished. You've slackened off with the old quill and ink, haven't you?
Hello, yeah. I took off social media for a while because it was toxic, and I've come back on social media now, and just chipping in every once in a while, but I'm trying to stay away from it because just watching town just makes me so angry. I just want to tweet like abuse and offensive stuff every time you play.
Fantastic. And you're now living over in Northern Ireland, giving me tree advice on WhatsApp, aren't you? Which is very much
I am indeed, yeah.
Very
£70
good.
Bill, that.
Exactly. Cozzy, you're here to take your knowledge on tour. But it's not you who gets to decide.
How come, though? I'm getting mad about this. Why can't I pick one for once, Matt?
Because you choose Spain every time and you dick whoever it is. That's what. But no, it's always the guest. Okay, so John, you can pick from Spanish football.
Hey.
German
Absolutely
football.
Not.
Hey.
Champions League. English football in the tens. And then Italian football. The Euros.
So English football in the tens. Ooh.
World Cup. English football in the 90s.
Oh, no.
The England national team. Or English football in the noughties. The choice is yours.
I'm going to go English football in the noughties because I would have been about, I don't know, 12 to 17, 18, 19 in the noughties, so my knowledge should be good.
Your Northern Ireland accent's coming on, you know. I can hear it.
Is it really? Oh, my God.
A little bit. Hear it, Noy. Martin, sort it out, Noy. Come on, Martin. Right, okay. Right. England in the noughties. Right, so... Rock, paper, scissors on a count of three to see who goes first. Cozzy, are you ready for a rock, paper, scissors? On three, up to the camera. Rock, paper, scissors. One, two, three, go. Right, okay, so Cozzy's going for a scissoring and Potter. Okay, so round one, let this commence.
Go for a fisted.
So it's gonna be Bloggy Potter versus Lord Voldemort. And here we go. Question one. So how this works, John, is I ask you a question. You can choose an easy one or a hard one. You get 2 points. 2 points for a hard question if you answer it correctly. 1 point for an easy one if you answer that correctly. And there are no rebounds in this. So, first question. Let me just make sure I've not asked this before. Nope. So, first question for you, John. Easy or hard?
I'm going to go hard, straight out of the box.
Confidence.
Cocky or what?
I know. This Turkish fan favourite...
A good lead.
This Turkish fan favourite with the Middlesbrough faithful was named their Player of the Year in 2009 with a whopping 75% of the votes. He was also known for his beautiful goals, winning the Goal of the Month competition twice during his time in the league. Who is he?
Sanli Tunçay.
It is Sanli Tunçay.
Bloody hell.
2-0 to Potter.
Jeez.
There we go.
Cozzy, you're under pressure already.
Straight into a kissing.
I'm hoping he's going to do a town, tech lead at half time, and then blow it later on.
Are you going easy or hard, Coz?
I'm going to go easy, mate.
Easy now, says the customer.
Build some confidence. I'm reeling from a defeat on last week, and now 2 down.
It's quite an easy one as well. This Spanish midfielder was picked up by Everton as a replacement for Thomas Gravesen in 2005. He was named the club's best player in his first 2 seasons at Goodison Park.
Is it Arteta?
It is Mikel Arteta. That's 2-1 to Mr. Potter.
One easy though, that, wasn't it?
No, not really.
Easy one, that, mate.
Easy or hard, John? For penalty 2.
We'll go hard again.
Hard again.
Oh, John, sticking knife in there.
This goalkeeper with 514 games in the Premier League is Australia's most experienced player in England. The vast majority of these games were played as Middlesbrough and then Fulham's number one, while during the sunset of his career, he filled the backup keeper role for first Chelsea and then subsequently Leicester City. Who am I?
Mark Schwarzer.
It is Mark Schwarzer. It's 4 for Potter, 1 for the Bear. The Invisible
Bear. I can't see you. Right, it's not before then. I can't see you. But can you see me?
Nope.
No, I've moved.
Cozzy in the dark and also in the mud. 4-1 on McNamara. Cozzy, are you going easy or hard?
I'm going to go hard. It's proper smashing me here.
Okay, Cozzy needs some points back.
Can't see anyone. It's all going wrong here.
This Finnish central defender made the PFA Premier League Team of the Year twice in the course of his career. In his native Finland, he was named Player of the Year an incredible 10 times and ended up leaving his beloved Liverpool in favour of Bayer Leverkusen in 2009. That's actually quite easy, that.
Yeah, Sami Hyypiä.
It is indeed Sami Hyypiä. So 4-3. Cozzy,
I score him. Where are you? I score him.
Oh. I was struggling with that one.
4-3. Right.
Oh, yeah, we go.
There he is. There's okay, John, it's 4-3. Question 3. You going easy or hard?
I'm going to go hard again. Clean sweep.
Hard again. This Bolton legend was appointed captain in 2009 after Kevin Nolan's departure. Before becoming an aggressive striker under Sam Allardyce at Bolton, he had made a name for himself as a skilled and intelligent player at Chesterfield, Southampton and at Blackburn. And at Blackburn, that actually signed him in a club record transfer in 1998. That season, the Rovers got relegated and this striker was transferred back to the South Coast.
He's a B-Tech Andy Booth, Kevin Davies.
It is Kevin Davies. That's 6-3. Cozzy?
Got no choice, haven't I? It's a tough question.
Cozzy's frozen as well.
Getting smashed, yeah.
Oh, there he is. He's back. Right, it's a hard one. This Dutchman scored a penalty in Middlesbrough's League Cup triumph in 2004. The player who moved to the Riverside from Chelsea played for some of Europe's biggest clubs, such as PSV, Barcelona, and Liverpool. During his impressive career, he also played 54 games for the Netherlands. I know this one.
Actually, no, I don't. It's easy, this one, Cozzy.
Actually, no, I don't. I got that wrong.
Oh, shit.
So this guy is ex. Who did he play for?
Middlesbrough,
and he played for Liverpool. I think he played for Liverpool as well.
Is it Rising? I don't think it is, but I guess.
Is he a bit of a bozo?
He is, yeah.
Who?
There you go. He's a bit of a bozo.
Is Cozzy out? Is Cozzy?
Yeah, it's not Rising, mate. I'm not. It's not a bozo, is it?
It's Budavine, isn't it? Budavine Zenden.
Bolo's ending, yeah.
I thought you said he was right back.
No. It said this Dutchman scored a penalty in Middlesbrough's League Cup triumph. The player who moved to the Riverside from Chelsea played for some of Europe's biggest clubs, such as PSV, Barcelona, and Liverpool. During his impressive career, he also played 54 times for another one.
No way.
Right.
In turmoil.
It's 6-3, and you're on fourth penalty. Potter can seal it technically with a hard one here, or he can go easy.
It's not even been a debate.
And stroke one in.
I'm gonna go for a Panenka here. Hard one again.
Hard one. Right, okay. This attacker came to Liverpool after a strong performance at the 2002 World Cup. At Merseyside, he never fulfilled the high expectations the Kop had for him. And he's perhaps best remembered for accusations. El Hadj Diouf.
Gonna
get everyone
8-3 for Flair.
four ads in a row, mate. He should be on every week. Get me killer back. I need to build my confidence.
I've been listening every week to Killer. I'm like, what are they playing at, guys? Come on.
I know. Silky.
Jeez, Cozzy, don't invite any more audience.
Let's try get some. Easy,
mate. Give me an easy one.
This English, do you know the easy ones aren't always the easy ones? It's
no, they're not.
This English winger didn't always grab the headlines, but he nevertheless played an important role in Chelsea's winning titles in the 2000s. He came to Chelsea from West Ham and in 2010 transferred to Liverpool. On the international stage, he played 56 games for England. That should be quite easy.
Joe Cole, is it?
It is Joe Cole. 8-4.
Yeah, I don't know what to do here.
Potter.
Back at net with ball, or do I just run back to the centre circle?
I don't know.
Pitching Villa.
Slide on my knees.
Are you going to go for the full Avada Kedavra, or are you going to go for a quick expelling?
I've got to finish him off. Avada Kedavra.
A fifth hard. Here we go. This midfielder seemed to get himself involved in turmoil wherever he played, whether it was for Newcastle, QPR or Man City. The complications he brought to the teams he played for were balanced at times by phenomenal Joey performances Barton. On the pitch. Oh, is it Joey Barton? It's Joey Barton.
Matt, are you sure you're not getting anything our questions mixed up with here?
I made the bald men cry.
Black for hard there, can you see?
Yeah, that was so easy, man.
Here's a Spanish one.
I know, I've been taking one of the Spanish football before long. Right, okay, so let me just cancel you leaving. Right.
Yeah, just cancel the
Cozzy.
Yeah, you're right there.
It's 10-4. There's no coming back here, Cozzy. You have been put to the slaughter. However, you do have a chance to redeem a little bit of self-respect.
You reckon?
Easy or hard?
Gone, mate. I'll have an easy one again, mate.
An easy one. This energetic Australian is known for his prowess in the air, despite not being an overly tall player. His goals were always celebrated, or almost always celebrated, by using the corner flag as a punching bag.
What, Australian guy? Oh, Tim Cahill, sorry.
That's it. So, Cozzy. Yeah, Cozzy scores the penalty.
There
we go, boys. Shake hands. The bald man has been held responsible.
If another bald guy wins, then that's at least some consolation.
Yeah, exactly.
John, you've took on my unbeaten record, mate. And how many pins did I have on there? It's not going well the last 10 minutes or so, mate. John, I can't believe it. And everyone, you have to pick an hard question. I mean, there's winning. That were like Man City 10 others who have won back in the day, mate. I couldn't even watch.
I've been listening for weeks to Poz and Killer just getting all these easy answers, all these easy questions wrong. I was like, someone get me on that podcast right now.
John, I need to do it. If I had to lose to someone who's got the same hairstyle as myself, even
Baltimore.
Yeah, I'm a town fan of that.
Three of us today.
Yeah. Part of me wonders if Matt's got them questions, easy and hard mixed up. But I don't want to be bitter, mate. I don't want to be bitter. Baldur's Gate.
We'll have a rematch next week.
Oh, man. John, I've got to get my confidence up, mate. But yeah. Anyway, guys, obviously. I woke up this morning and Johnny, sounds like you're still spewing over the penalty. And I've tried to get my positive head on and I'm struggling with the running. And honestly, you can't make stuff up, can you, yesterday? So let's try and get some sense of this. So Blackburn Rovers, everyone tells me an absolute free fall. Like an absolute, honestly, you're watching that game yesterday. Like, I mean, it's not often you want Leeds to win, but it's really with every heart we were there. And Leeds are battering Blackburn. It's only a matter of these last-ditch desperate blocks. There's only one team going to win it, and then Sammy Smodic does that, and we get beat. The night before, Leicester, who decided to try and send Town down by losing at Millwall, so they go to Plymouth. Unbelievable again, had all the play, the chances. Plymouth win 1-0, and then you're seeing, like, obviously our goal difference take a battering in this week, and that's what I'm going to cut to the chase, really. I mean, Sheffield Wednesday and Stoke, obviously that went well for us. But Johnny, I didn't realise this as much what you were saying, but the goal difference, because obviously we seem to be getting beat by a lot of goals and stuff. And you see, what are we goal difference-wise for us? It's
-23.
And you're thinking, how can that come in? Blame -23, it's almost like, forget it. But it's cost us, hasn't it, some of these big defeats? And I suppose, coming to you, mate, looking at everything coming in, it's a nightmare, mate, isn't it? I mean, you've got all the top three didn't win yesterday, so you know it's that you're going to have someone to play for the last day. You've got others that are kind of maybe out of it now. I mean, I've not even got Millwall written down here, Johnny. Blackburn have got 49 points, 5 points away from us seems an eternity, mate, with what they've got left. And the teams that all of a sudden we were like queuing with a few weeks ago, bit by bit, have gone. And how are you seeing things, mate? It's looking pretty grim for me from what I can make out.
Yeah, I'm worried. More so is because of that Birmingham result, really. I mean, obviously, Plymouth, I would say, are gone now. Blackburn are gone. Birmingham have still got Rotherham to play. And that's what really worries me, because I can see them beating Rotherham. I'll give them 3 points for that. So I'm thinking that's going to put them on 48 points. There's a real situation when we go to play them at our place that we're actually 4 points behind them. Seeing if we beat them, we'll be 1 point behind. And then obviously we go into Ipswich in the last game of the season, and Birmingham have got Norwich. Wagner's been killing us for two seasons. So no doubt he'll probably lose that one. But I'll either look to rest players, which might come back to beat us.
Are you saying when you're 4 points really behind us, are you counting? You say we're going to lose to Swansea then? Or?
No, I'm saying in a worst case scenario, there's every chance. Even if we beat Swansea, are we going to win? Are we going to win two out of three? I don't know.
The only time we've done that was September when we won at West Brom under Warnock and then beat a shocking Rotherham team the week after. So the history doesn't look good.
No, I'm really worried. And I guess the other team QPR have kind of their little purple patch has completely ended, hasn't it? To be honest.
But their goal difference is 3 points above us. It's almost like 4 points, mate. They finished with Preston. So, Preston at home, Leeds at home, Coventry away.
Stoke are, I mean, catchable, but they're actually 4 points above us, not three.
Plymouth at home, Southampton away, Birmingham at home. Yeah, -19 for goals.
Yeah, it's not to kind of keep going back to it, isn't it? But even with the Birmingham result, which was not what I expected against Coventry. Those 2 points make all the difference. If you look at kind of the odds now, I think we are odds on, which is the first time for a while we've been odds on favourites to go down versus Birmingham on Wednesday. And we've not even addressed Wednesday in this conversation as well, who are doing back to picking up points, undefeated in three. I'm not sure of their fixtures. But
Blackburn away, West Brom at home, Sunderland away. Blackburn away game, just to say, is the dinner time one, mate. So that, psychologically, that could be good or bad.
Yeah. You've got three teams there with nothing to play for, two teams mid table, and West Brom who are guaranteed in the playoffs. So anything happen, we don't know. We can only guess. But we've absolutely got to win on Saturday because I really believe Birmingham will win. So it all comes down to that. And if we get the result that we need, then it all comes down to the Birmingham game. But yeah, not confident. Very worried.
Johnny, at what point did you kind of change from? I keep going about this Leeds game where I honestly looked at we were coming back and how well we played and what the fixtures we had to come out. I just thought there's no way. I just didn't see us going down at that point. At what point?
Yesterday. Yeah, I'm not naive to the fact that John, I wasn't like, nah, we'll be absolutely fine. I'd never say that as a Town fan. But certainly for me, like yesterday when we looked at the table and I knew Birmingham had that Rotherham game, it's the first time that I've been more confident we'd go down than stay up. I always thought we'd get results, which we would have got yesterday. I think we could get some against Swansea. And I think it's in our gift to beat Birmingham, which would have kept us safe. But now the way things have changed, I didn't expect Birmingham to get results out of Coventry. It's all kind of swung.
Josh, well, how are you seeing it? Your face looks worried.
I'm saying with Johnny, really. It's one of them. I think yesterday the results just... The results totally went against us. Like, say you were thinking, oh, Birmingham, Coventry should go there and turn them over.
3-0.
And then they won 3-0. And then the penalty decision for us to lose two more points. And it's one of them. We're going to have to do something we've only done once this season, aren't we? And win two games. Is it back-to-back? And I think, like I say, I think we've only done it once.
And even then, that
might not be enough now. Yeah, I mean, and if we have to go to Ipswich on last day, we're just, you know, if they need to get some, it's, you know what I mean? I mean, unless they absolutely bottle it and we manage to do something. But what are we like? If they score early, it's game over for us, isn't it? So it's one of them. It's just, Swansea have no to play for. So you'd like to think, if there's one game we can go at a team and try and get some, it's that. It could be very much like that Bristol City game, similar position at league, no to play for. That Birmingham game will be horrific. And it'll be horrific just on the fact there's a lot of Town fans sort of our age who's probably seen it, who remember what happened last time in Championship and who relegated us.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
It could happen again.
Can't believe it.
And, you know, I mean, we're sort of hoping on Rotherham to get some against them, but they've just seems to have totally given up now. So even winning them two games, you're not guaranteed now to stay up, and it's going to go to that last day.
They beat Millwall though, Josh. Maybe a bit of hope, but I know they lost to Plymouth.
I mean, if they manage to get a draw against them, we beat Swansea. You know what I mean? Just to take it into that game with Millwall, not Millwall, Birmingham, sorry. But yeah, I think they're going to win. I think we're up against it now, to be honest. I think it's sort of could have knocked the stuffing out of the fan base. I mean, like you said, the players are clearly playing at Bristol City. So mate, hopefully they haven't sort of given up. And maybe the anger for that will spur them on for these next two home games and we can get two wins. And even if the worst does happen, we go down with a fight. But I don't know. I think it's just being a Town fan. I just look at worst side of it. I just can't see it happening. I think I said to you before the start of the pod, didn't I, when I just said, you play Russian roulette with relegation too many times, your luck runs out, and that one time, bang, it's done. And I think that it could just be that time. Everything's gone against us. Three managers during season. This, nothing's been settled. It could just be our year. Unfortunately, it's one of them.
John, why does it feel, I don't, it's only my personal thoughts, but we're only 1 point behind Birmingham. We've got them to come up home. But why does it feel, it seems so far away at the moment, just staying up, mate? I mean, do you share that view, or?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've been saying for a couple of weeks, I think we're down. But, I still turned on Tuesday night and on Saturday, hoping that we'd win and thinking, you know, we could pull this off. But I think if you've been a realist now, we've played 45 games of football this season, including the Cups. We've won 9 games of football. We're not very good. We're just not a very good team.
Breaking news, yeah.
You know, we've played well probably for a full 90 minutes in one game. I'm looking at that Blackburn game when we won, was it 3-0? But other than that, a lot of our wins have been, you know, harem's game sort of stuff, Sunderland away when we're hanging on. So for us to stay up now, we have to win against Swansea and Birmingham. I think we'll beat Swansea. I think we'll lose 1-0 to Birmingham. I think we'll get absolutely hammered by Ipswich. But say that we do beat Swansea and we do beat Birmingham, we've then got to hope that Birmingham don't beat Rotherham.
We'd still find a way.
Yeah, but Birmingham will beat Rotherham and Birmingham will beat Norwich on the last game of the season. So everything's against us. If we'd have got those two extra points yesterday, I'd have been saying something completely different.
Still could beat Plymouth, I think, on Saturday. But you don't know, I suppose. But that's about 50 points, isn't it?
QPR, you know, as Josh said,
we're done Saturday, mate.
Yeah, I watched that Leicester-Plymouth game on Friday night, and Plymouth just looked like a much better team than us. They really did. I was watching it, imagining what Town would be doing in that scenario, and I was thinking, well, Matty Pearson would be getting the ball, and he'd be just absolutely booting it 50 yards out of play. Sauber Thomas would be crossing it into the box, there'd be nobody there. Someone would switch off, they'd get a pullback goal. You know, we're not very good, and I'd love us to stay up. I really would. I don't want to go all Kevin Keegan about it, but the only way I can see it is as Josh said, if Brighton Wrighter motivates these players and says, we were robbed by a referee against Bristol City. Now we need to go out and we need to make sure that we get 7 points out of 9 games, because I think 7 points out of 9 games would guarantee it. I mean, the chances of it happening. I mean, slim to none.
You shouldn't be drinking before you come in here, mate. I told you.
going back to what we said, what Josh said about under Welsh, it's not the season that's going to relegate us. And going on the relegation topic as a whole, it's games like the Rotherham game. It's like we're giving Birmingham 3 points here because they're playing Rotherham. We failed to do that. We were awful, absolutely awful. And if you keep adding on points to the table, if you ignore the decision against Bristol City, if we beat the worst team the Championship has ever seen, when they're pretty much down, you add 2 points on, and the conversation is completely different. So it's like, are we going to beat Swansea and Birmingham and get a result against Ipswich? Well, you can't beat them.
I'd go back further, Johnny. Me, I'd go back to your games like
Plymouth at home,
Swansea away from home. When you've scored, but you conceded 90-odd minute. You know what I mean? Then you've got that 3-game period when we had what, Plymouth at home, QPR away, Blackburn away. Nice. We were all well within their games to win them games.
How many points is it now, Jeff? 27. 27 we've
won. Is it 27 points we've dropped from winning positions or something like that this season? Yeah, you know I mean, it's like John said, like, we're a poor side. No matter what happens, like, if we go down or stay up, a lot of it needs gutting. It's a poor side. So when you've won 9 games all season, we can't sit here and deny the fact that we probably deserve to be down where we are. You know what I mean? There's no hiding from it, is there? Yeah, we've drawn 16 games or 17 games, and that's the issue. We've gone a long period of time without winning games.
If you sit and think about it right now, you could probably rattle off every single win this season. That shouldn't be the case.
West Ham. We beat Sunderland over and away. How shit would you be?
Yeah.
We bet you 2 times.
Jesus.
You know what, though, John? There's been flickers, hasn't there? But there's just been nothing. This team just cannot be trusted, cannot put anything together. That Sunderland game underway, that was as good as we played that home. We were pressing, we were good, but then we just follow it up with some like grass.
There's that famous quote, and I'm going to butcher it, but it's that Navy SEALs quote that says, under pressure, you sink to the level of your training. And I think that's so true with Town because, you know, the past like 3 or 4 games I've watched, I think Brighton Wright's tactics have been good. I don't understand sometimes why he doesn't bring a striker on, but I think the tactics have been good. But then when the pressure comes up, we just revert. We start making the same mistakes. Was it the second goal that Preston scored the other day? The cutback across the 6-yard box. We've conceded that goal about 500 times this season.
Yeah.
Why are the players not learning? And they're just literally... It's just
mentally gone, John. Let's move on before we're mentally gone. Obviously, you know, whether Brighton Wright is the man to lead us, let's hope this time next week we're still in the mix to stay up. But yeah, obviously, it's not going to be a good week, I don't think, for everyone at Huddersfield fans, players. But we've got to get it done next Saturday. Just moving on to a little bit of other business and that. So Kieran Phillips of Sacramento, quite an interesting one, wasn't it? That came out this week. And obviously, much we're talking about swapping different things, etc., marketing players and it was sent many times, but Johnny, can we read much into that? Is it just a player who's probably, let's be honest, not got much future at Huddersfield Town because he's not at our level, maybe going to a lower level, or is it the start of maybe something bigger? Or what do you think?
No, I don't think it's the start of Huddersfield Town being a feeder club to Sacramento, which I saw someone get a little bit upset about on Twitter. I think it's slightly ridiculous.
We'll get in there, team with them now.
We are intrinsically linked. Do you know what I mean? Kieran Phillips he's had a few loans in his country. Some have done better than others. I think he's a reasonable player. Don't quote me, but I don't know how many clubs he's been at this season where he could go out to get a couple of games in England. I don't think he can do. Just the number of clubs he's played for. So yeah, what a great player. Spent a few weeks in California. Why wouldn't you want to do that? So fair enough. It's nice bit of PR. They'll probably buzz off it a bit more than we do. But yeah, don't see any problems with it. If we can send a couple of our kids to go get a bit of a culture, a bit of experience, try for a different country. I know the standard's not as good, but he'll learn things from it. So yeah, don't see any issue with it. Are we going to send our best prospects there to develop? Probably not. But equally, why not? If he's happy to go, and it's a bit of a nice bit of PR between the clubs, then yeah, fair enough. We're a football group now. We're our own owns 2 clubs. You're going to see things happen between them. So don't see an issue with it at all.
No worries. Just free coaches to Bristol City. I thought that were a good move. Made a lot of noise. Just I thought our fans were brilliant, mate, yesterday. And obviously, we had a bit of cider and what have you, but that. I like to see stuff like that, mate. And obviously, Nagel's been doing some good stuff like that. That were good to hear, wasn't it?
Yeah, we're good to get. Were it 3 coaches that they put on? Were it just 3 of them? I mean, it's nice, and it gets some more fans there. It's what they need. And by all accounts, like I say, I think the club were coming out. I know they say it generally, don't they, that all the fans have been good. But they look like they were a good following down there because Bristol is usually one of them places where we don't particularly take a. I can't remember us taking a good following to Bristol every time I've been down there. So yeah, to get more than what we'd usually take down there and put a bit of noise, get behind the lads and stuff. It were a good little move, wasn't it? especially in the times we are at the moment, because even if it adds a couple of hundred on, it's better than no, isn't it?
Yeah, we're good, and Shinley didn't get the win, but obviously we've discussed that. And we've won something, which is great to hear, and that's also tonight's the EFL Awards. Don't think many of our players will be getting individual awards. But we were in for two awards, one for fan engagement. I don't know what's happened to that, whether we got that as well. But we've won the Diversity Award winner for work towards improving the female fan experience at the game. And, just having a look at that. We've won it through initiatives such as Dedication Women at the Game. So we've got Women at the Game fixture in that as well. We're breastfeeding-friendly venue. We've got a Women's Plus Network, which is a group dedicated to increasing female representation across stakeholder groups, and both staff and supporters have significantly grown in members this season. And we became the first football club to become menopause friendly. And in 2023, we won the Most Supportive Partner Award at the Menopause Friendly Employer Awards. So I always think, you know, when we kind of win an award like that, it's pretty special, really, because it's obviously a national thing. And, you know, while, you know, obviously, we want everything to be right on the pitch and that as well, which is out of our control. And that's why there's a lot of stuff in our control. And obviously, we've got, you know, big budgets compared to other clubs. But it must be a proud, you know, proud moment, you know, tonight when they come to get their awards as well. And, yeah, we want it to be all inclusive. We've mentioned before, you know, we talked about, you know, last week, you know, about the issue, you know, with a child who were getting abused, and then, you know, kind of as a, with a guest and that as well. So the club do so many things right and that as well. And, yeah, really pleased to see we get that award as well on there. And, yeah, just finally, really, just looking, looks like Jonathan Ogg's season's done from what Brighton Wright was saying and that as well, which is sad. I mean, he's kind of a guy you'd really want, you know, whether you want in the next three games and that as well. It sounds like Bolker, he maybe he's not going to be involved in that as well. And, it's really sad. I've dragged myself on it here now. I don't know about you guys, but just like you said, Johnny, I think it's the first just kind of ending, really. I don't know what your final thoughts are, but it just feels like to me the first, you've always feared relegation. You've always clutched at this and that, but it just feels, I mean, we've had, this is the last chance saloon, isn't it, this Saturday. And even now it's not in our hands, and it might not be. It just, I'm kind of looking at that League One table, and now I was looking at it last night thinking Stockport and Wrexham have got up, and that's a good away day. And I know we'll always be town fans and we'll be there, but it just, when you said, Johnny, we're odds on now and that's all, it just feel that, yeah, Saturday, it's not going to be one for the faint hearted, is it? If we stay up from this point, it just feels like it'll be a pretty good achievement, won't it, really, when really we should have, you know, probably turned it around long before now and that as well. But yeah, I don't know if you've got any final thoughts, guys, while we kind of close. It's been a tough week, hasn't it, for us and that as well.
It has. And do you know what I mean, I won't give up until it's done. Do you know what I mean, I'm aware of who's in League One, and I'll there's some dates in there you think fair enough, and you'll go to a few different games. But I mean, I'm clutching at straws to kind of have positive reasons to go back there. took us a long time to get out last time, and I think the club, I mean, we've said this most years, but I do think the club will progressively set up from this year to next. I do think that's the case. So it'd be a shame. I guess you've just got to try and take positive. You've got to look at Ipswich, who are currently top of the championship, who, I mean, came straight up and have done that. They were a big club to They'd done many years in the championship. For them, League One really was horrendous. So there are success stories out coming that, but take it from me that's a tough league to get out of. We all know that as town fans, but the quality in that division is far higher than when we left it. So it's not a place where I'm going down thinking it's going to be an easy ride, and I'd probably rather be struggling in the championship than struggling in League One. Because I don't know, for mental health, struggling in League One is not the place you want to be, is it? The town fan, Christ. At least we can say we're still in the championship, but yeah, it's one of them. It does affect you. It is hard. But yeah, we've got Saturday. We've still got the ability to, like John said, if we get 7 from 9, I think that'd be enough. We've got it in our gift to get 9 from 9. We can do that. It's not impossible. So until it happens, let's just keep being positive. But yeah, at least if we do get relegated to against Birmingham, because last time that happened, that must have been about 6 or 7. And it's the only time I can ever remember my mum coming to football. She didn't come to football, but she went shopping whilst we went. And she bought me a pair of pyjamas, which tells you which ages me, because mum doesn't buy me pyjamas anymore. But she bought me pyjamas, blue and white, with Division 1 on. Said, these are lovely. Look at them, blue and white. And they said Division 1 on. And it was the day we got relegated. And my dad has never forgiven me for that.
Exclusive. So
at least that won't happen this time around. But yeah.
Johnny, you don't know, mate. Come into pyjama makers.
I can pitch them now. And she was like, everyone's so quiet. What's happened? She's not into football. Everyone's so quiet. And everyone's like, what's happened? I've got you these. Yeah, I'll list.
Go get them now, Johnny.
Josh, have you got your League One wife up ready, mate? Or you still got that fire in your
the League One Tour flag. Yeah, it's one of those. It's like Johnny said, it's not over yet, is it? We've got to keep fighting to end. But yeah, it's like if we go down, we've all seen it before. It's happened before. Like I said, we said before, didn't we? Just before we started recording. I just hope if we do go down, we act like the club we should do at that level, a big club at that level, and just chairman backs the manager, go get the players, get out of the league. We're not here to dwell in it anymore. Straight out of it. Job done. It can go either way, though. That's the issue, but hopefully it don't come to that. But if it does, put your big boy pants on and act like a big club town for once.
John, take us out, mate. Final thought from you.
Look, all I'd like to say is I'm looking at a framed poster I've got up on the wall now of Aaron Moy scoring against Manchester United. What was that, 7 years ago?
And it's 70 on it.
Done.
Right. And Kevin Nagle, in his diaries and stuff, he's come out and he said, look, we're going to make mistakes. Well, now's not the time for mistakes anymore. And if he wants a good catalogue of mistakes of what not to do with a football club, look at everything that we've done since we got relegated from the Premier League, because we have been badly run consistently. I mean, I could go into so many different things here. We had a director of football who was working fantastically on a shoestring, and then we blamed him. It was all his fault. It was nothing to do with the investment. It was all Lee Bromby's fault. Then it was Danny Schofield's fault. Then it was Fotheringham's fault. Then it was, who was after him? It wasn't Warnock's fault, but some of it was.
Moore's fault.
And then it was Moore's fault.
Right.
It's everybody's fault. But it's not the manager's fault. We've been run badly for years. And if you consistently run a football club badly, you'll get bad results. So if the worst does happen, then I want Nagle and everyone to learn the lessons from that. And I want the fans to learn the lessons from that. I don't want to log on to Twitter and see it's all Brighton Wright's fault or it's all Brody Spencer's fault or whatever. But that doesn't matter, because we're going to win all three games and we're going to stay up.
John, that is the way to end it, mate. And he knows what he's on about, because you saw in a quiz today. Absolutely. The guy knows his onions. Guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We'll be back next week, whatever happens, and hopefully England have beaten Wales in the big game next Saturday up the town.
There's a team that is dear to its followers. The colours are bright blue and white. They're a team of renown. They're the pride of the town. And the game of football is their delight. And all the while upon the field of play, thousands loudly cheer them on the way. Often you can hear them say, who can beat the town today? And then the bells will ring so merrily, and every goal shall be a memory. So town, play up and bring that cup back to Huddersfield. So town, play up, bring the cup back to
Lads, what's your favourite 90th minute goal?
Got to be Heffley against Leeds. A shot from Moy and sliding in at the death, Michael Heffley. Great finish to the game. Shared with my family, only made better by ordering McDonald's via McDelivery afterwards. 3 points, McNugget share box, spot on. Order McDelivery now via the McDonald's app. You in.
At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.